Hey, y'all, it's your pal Uncle Skeet here with a little pre-show information. Hi, it's me, it's Cy. Chad is also here, and we just recorded an episode. And even though Cy is often the cause of episode distress, today, what happened, Chadular?
Well, we were about 7 minutes into the episode, and I looked down to see how much time it actually had been. And I saw that my card is full. My card is full. So we're going to have to use the audio from the Zoom room. Not always great, because I'm also doing this new thing when I'm at the cabin where I use my phone to record instead of my computer. I like to rely on 5G instead of my internet out here. And I can't find my AirPods, so I'm using my Bose noise-canceling giant over-the-ear headphones. So listen, we don't know how this is going to sound, and I just hope it sounds okay for you guys. I'm sorry I didn't check my card.
And brother, do you think the people are going to accept that reasoning and enjoy the episode anyways?
Yeah, I mean, I sure hope so. It's still the same stuff.
I sure hope so too. And so, have a good time with this episode. And if you want to see more content with video and audio issues, head on over to our Patreon, where we fuck stuff up over there too. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy today's episode of Middle of Somewhere. Daryl Hammond. What was the guy? What was his name? Ellen Cleghorn. Yeah. I don't do impressions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. It's going to be a light rock kind of morning because Cy just called me daddy before I started talking. I hope you like smooth jazz because that's what we got for you today. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming back. And across from me, as always, is the man that made me use this voice, Cy Amundson.
Is it smooth jazz and light rock? It's a light rock morning that you're playing smooth jazz. I don't want to poke holes in this character, but...
It also sounded like an old man at a young bar trying to pick up chicks. Hey, ladies, how you guys doing tonight?
There was no part of me that thought that was a morning DJ. I was like, where's this guy jacking it? Like, this is a
straight pervert. He's like,
kids.
Have you ladies ever heard of a Camaro? Oh, you have the Uber app, so you don't need to ride home. All right.
You seem like a guy who somehow everybody would be like, how did that guy get a job as a lunch cafeteria worker? How did that happen?
Yeah, this is more of a court-ordered situation than an employment.
Sure. I don't know. I could poke some holes in that too, but I'm gonna move forward. Chad, as you know, I'm dealing with a little bit of dizziness today. I got a little bit of head pressure. So sure. I don't know that I'm going to be on my A game, but I probably need to be because there are 10 million things to do at this home that we own.
Yeah.
And I had two of our friends have been to my house recently.
Okay.
One, the wonderful Rand Barnacolo, Rand Venture himself. He came over last Saturday because there was music on the lake. Somebody who lives in one of the condos plays in a band. And so they set up and everybody hooked their pontoons together and listened to the music.
Can I just guess, was this event called Rock Out With Your Dock Out?
No, there's no way it was called something that cool. It's impossible for it to have, to have been called something that cool.
Okay, because we have a lot of those where in Lakes Country where I'm at, and they're really, really fun. And people make probably $10,000 in merch selling Rock Out With Your Dock Out shirts. It's pretty crazy.
This was a bunch of, they're like my dad, they're like they're dad age band. And so my prediction when we went out on the lake, I was like, there's going to be a lot of Eagles type music. This is going to be a Don Henley vibe. And even though I didn't really hear any Eagles, I wasn't wrong about that statement.
You know, when you say dad age, it's interesting to me because you're referring to your father. We've talked about this before.
Correct.
You were like,
yes,
mom age, and it could be 90. So, I mean, dad age is anywhere from 15, thank you, MTV,
sure,
15 to 100. So, but now you're saying Eagles, which also doesn't really, because, you know, I know a youngster that loves the Eagles, and I know an oldster.
Oh, he sounds so cool. The youngster who loves the Eagles sounds super cool. Maybe I'm being a bitch today. Let me tell you the story about Ran and Shubes, and then let me learn what's going on in your life. Ran, so this, the people who own this house, the woman was a master decorator. I have been, she like went all out for the holidays, and not just Christmas, all the holidays. And there have been multiple people who've come by and said, like, oh, you got some pretty big shoes to fill in terms of Christmas decorations. And I just look at them and I'm like, I'm not doing that. And like, there's no part of me that can, and the way they describe the extravagance, I'm like, even if I wanted to decorate, I couldn't achieve that. And so
yeah, you're the person that moves into a neighborhood and ruins a tradition of 15 years of grandkids coming to look at a house and stuff, and they're all going to drive to your house and it's just going to be dark on Christmas. I can't wait.
Dude, when they did the garage sale, I don't know. Like I said, I'm dealing with some stuff, so I don't know if I told this a few weeks ago, but when we had the garage sale Saturday morning, and you can only have it on one day a year. It's like the whole neighborhood has their garage sales. And so this woman shows up the day before at our house and knocks on our door, and I answer, and she was like, where's the woman? I was like,
oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think I told you this, right? Yeah. Like I'm not only disappointing people in the neighborhood, I'm disappointing people who come to the neighborhood once a year. I'm sure there'll be a slow, steady stream of cars in December that go, okay, kids, here we go. Never mind, we're leaving the neighborhood. It's just, you know, I'm sure people, the way they talk about how she decorated, I'm sure it was a sight to see. And I am ruining it for everyone.
You better buckle up for people knocking on your door, wondering where the hot cocoa stand is. I mean, I think this woman really messed you up by selling you this place.
So we've had to remove a lot of Christmas decorations, and we donated them. And it's like a lot. There's been a lot. And so Rand comes over, and he and I are going to go out on my pontoon during Rock Out With Your Dock Out. And Ran is driving the pontoon, and Ran right now has been growing his hair out, you know, because Ran's he's a little thin up top, right?
Ran's hair looks like it's sliding off the back of his head. It looks like someone grabbed the back of his hair and pulled it down, and it actually moved.
Yeah, it looks like he went skiing, you know, against a wind that was just filled with hair shears. I'm not great with my references this morning. Again, I'm not feeling awesome. But it's very, he refers to it as his William Shakespeare hair, because he's growing it long in the and he's balding up front, and he's got his hat, and he's dressed the way Rand dressed. He's to the nines and tens. And so he hops in. Nobody, everybody in this neighborhood knows everybody, and nobody knows Ran, but everybody knows me now. And so Ran and I get out on this boat and we're cruising around all these ponds. Everybody's fucking waving like, oh, hey, how are you liking the neighborhood? That sort of shit. And so I'm just somebody we get by. A lot of pontoons are hooked together. So there's like 3-4 pontoons hooked together, like 15, 20 people on it from the neighborhood. And this woman, and it's like not loud, it's in between songs. This woman goes, hey, how are you guys liking being here? And I had told Ran about all the Christmas stuff. And Ran just goes, that's all right, but we could use some more Christmas decorations. Just like a fucking dick. Just just talking shit, trying to get me in trouble in the neighborhood. And then Shubes came over the next day. And Jenna needed help moving some stuff in the garage. And she's like, will you and Shubes do it? And by that, she wanted to include me in the sentence. She's basically like, Shubes, will you help me? Si's not a person right. who does anything for me. And so we basically have to reorganize a side of the garage for her. And Shubes has autism. Mm-hmm. And I have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
I mean, there's no story. I just can't imagine what it had to have been like to watch a person who wants things done in a specific way that doesn't make sense for absolutely no logical reason at all, to convey that information to a person who does not process information like anyone else. So I'm like, no, now turn it the other way. No, but so the label shows, and then now turn it back. Just me over here trying to save my cousin's lives by making sure a paint can faces the right direction, and Shubes having no concept of the where was. And like what Shubes does is if you tell him something, then he uses that information and he projects it onto the next thing. So I'll be like, okay, put that paint can like that. And then he goes, okay, well, logically, the next paint can should go like this and the next paint can. And I'm going, well, the next one can't go like that or something might happen to my cousin Al. So fuck, turn that one. It was the two of us trying to sort a side of a garage. Woof.
And if it was reversed, it would have been the perfect combination for the greatest garage in the history of garages. It really would have, because you have a very focused, detailed person asking somebody to move something and then you're getting it just right. It really would have been perfect. But when it's flipped that way, oh my God, poor Shubes. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If I was in your garage, you'd be covered in paint.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I would have got the lid open and just dumped it on you and said, that was from your cousin Al, you bitch.
That's why I'm a big do it myself guy. I don't like to involve other people in my goings ons and my happenings. Otherwise, they start asking me questions about my procedures.
Yeah, right. I got a procedure story if you want to listen to it.
Sure.
I am boarding a plane to Salt Lake City, which, by the way,
The procedure that you had some sort of body sculpting? Because I saw you in some shirts in Salt Lake City and that shit looked painted on, daddy. What's up with this gym stuff? You got, you know, you talk about those tits and that weight, but you look like you're looking
I got yelled at a lot in Las Vegas and Salt Lake City for making fun of my body by people that came through the line. I think,
Of course you should. You look like. You look like a guy who owns a fucking CrossFit gym right now. You shouldn't be on stage criticizing your own weight.
Yep. And I realized
that. You have dysmorphia. Yeah.
Because our good friend Amber Preston was nice enough to work with me this weekend, nice enough to join me in Las Vegas and Salt Lake City. And then she was not thrilled about how I was talking either. So, but I got to tell you something. The people of Las Vegas that came to the shows. So I did a show. Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. If you haven't been, or excuse me, Wise Guys in Las Vegas first. If you haven't been, you should go. It's not attached to a casino. You don't have to worry about that kind of shit. And that's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting to do a club that wasn't attached to a casino because then people come in, they get tickets comped and there's no value to the show. Dude, when it wasn't sold out in Las Vegas, but the people that were there to party. I mean, it was so much fun. Both shows, so much fun. Then you go to Salt Lake City and everybody's like Mormon this and Mormon that. Dude, Salt Lake City is one of the greatest comedy cities as far as like crowds coming out and their reactions. It's so incredible. You have two other people were working theaters on Friday night, and we were still jam-packed.
I believe, and I don't know what happened in pop culture, obviously I love South Park, but the South Park kind of some of the, I think the Mormons, which they don't like to be called the Mormons anymore. This is something interesting I learned. They removed that because they don't worship Mormonism. They are the
Sure.
members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
And I think they are a very underrated people, especially as a comedy audience. So I Michael Palasak, a bunch of years ago, he was going to do this show like in Sacramento, and it was like a some he was like it's like a clean show or something like this, and so is that somebody's house? And I was like, okay. And so he set me up with it, and it was at a Mormon community. They all packed into this house. And there's something about performing for a group of people that doesn't care about alcohol at all that is,
Sure.
it's comedy heaven. It is, you don't realize how much of your audience is drinking all the time and what drinking does to nuance until you get in front of, like, you do a corporate thing where nobody's drinking, and that's a different sort of horrible. But when you're like, hey, here's 100 people who came here not to drink, but literally only for the, there's no other aspect to this other than the show. It's like when you go to a movie theater, there's popcorn and shit, but you're not getting lathered up and fucking walking into a movie half in the bag. And I think I
You'd be
love,
surprised. I used to bring beers to the movie theater, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I just, and I also think this is a longer topic, but I'm big in on the Mormons as an underrated group of incredible people. Now, there's not, now I'm not talking, there's other, like the fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where you're like, Gluh. I'm talking like the
Sure.
mainstream.
Oh yeah, I get you. So these they go on missions, it's called, these young adults. They go on missions. You may know them as walking around your neighborhood with black pants, white shirt, black tie, with a name tag that says Elder or whatever their last name is. So here's the difference. You get some people that come up
You
with,
think there's
let's
any
say,
Mormons whose names are like Jeff Barry, and then, their name tag says Elderberry? I think I'm gonna shoot myself. That's how tired I am and lightheaded. Did I just make an Elderberry joke? Should the
You
show
did, but
end?
don't shoot yourself, but just stop making those jokes. But if you get a Jehovah's Witness that comes to your house and you're like, nope, I don't have time to talk right now, and they go, all right, here's this pamphlet, and that's it, they leave. If you get the elders coming around on their mission and they go, hey, we'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ, you're like, no, thanks, but thank you anyways. And then they go, hey, do you need we could help you move. Do you need any help
Yeah.
moving any like furniture or doing yard work? And you're like, wait a minute. So after I told you I don't want to do the thing that you came here to do, you're still going to help me? It really is incredible.
So I have a friend who is a member of the church, and I'm learning a lot. We back in Orono when I coached basketball, there were a couple kids, so I learned a little bit about it. And now I'm learning more and more, and it's so much of the church. There's a not all like I'm not don't fucking message me, just leave me alone. But I've got, by the way, Justin sent me this message. So long story short, this is a fucking detour, Chad. We are pulling up our deck. The muskrat damaged my fucking shoreline. He won this whole ha 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 size in a muskrat war. Cy lost the fucking muskrat war. I lost the
Ooh.
battle, the war. He caused thousands of dollars of damage to my shoreline that has to be repaired before we can
Sure.
put our deck back down. And Justin messaged me. He's like, oh man, I wish you would have found that out right before we had to record an episode. And I'm like, I don't, you're the only one who would have enjoyed that. I don't know why I got
Two. There's
sidetracked
two of
on that.
us. There's two of us.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's
Yeah.
two of us. You know, it'd
You
be
two and
great
my
is,
brother, Greg.
yeah, instead of putting up Christmas lights this year, you just have a sign in your yard that says, talk to the fucking muskrat. Can't afford it. I was fixing my shoreline.
The but the anyway, this, I've been learning about, you know, there seems to be a kindness in that community that is focused around relieving the troubles and helping other people and things of that nature. We should move on from this. I don't need to spend the day talking about my...
I mean, let's be clear about something. Very helpful people, but anytime a church is involved, there's trouble. Now,
fair,
and that's just my opinion, allegedly.
Come on. Now, you always do this. You're always shooting on religion. Give me another example. Let's play the game. What have the Catholics done wrong?
Okay, so I'm in line to go to Salt Lake City.
Name one thing.
I'm
that
in
the
line.
Catholics have done wrong.
Listen, when you can't write lyrics for your songs because there are balls in your mouth, so it, every song is it's a pretty failed religion, in my opinion.
Fine. Name two things the Catholics have done wrong.
Yeah, I can't name two things. I could name, I don't know, 10,000. But besides that, I was in line to go to Salt Lake City. And my thing is, when I board a plane, I wait to be the last person on. It's not because it's like a whatever, I think I'm going to jinx the plane. It's not anything involved in that. It's just, I don't want everyone walking by me, mouth breathing on me, or their kids touching me. I had a kid touch my leg once. I had shorts on, and he put his full palm on my leg. And I'm like, this is how you get pulled off a plane and arrested for a long time. So I put my hands in the air like I was on a roller coaster and looked at the mom like, just so you know, I don't know what to do. And I pulled my leg away. It was very uncomfortable. I probably made it more uncomfortable than it needed to be, but whatever.
I am always the last person on the plane too. And it is definitively because I don't want to jinx the plane.
Yeah, we go on for different reasons. But a lot of times when you board last, the overhead bins are full. Right?
Yep.
And so they'll make an announcement. Hey guys, just got a message from the flight crew. The overhead bins are full. We're going to need to check your bag to your final destination. Now, a lot of times that doesn't affect me. I've said this before. I'm very lucky. I fly too much, so I get upgraded a ton. Mm-hmm. And the first class bins are just for the first class cabin, right? Uh-huh. As soon as you get past first class, you can put your bag anywhere. It doesn't matter. But they save whatever. And if those are full, you can ask the flight attendant, be like, hey, can you put this in the little closet thingy? And they'll normally do that for you. So this woman is two people ahead of me and they have to check her bag. And she is losing her mind. I mean, really losing her mind, where she's like, I packed my bag this small. If I knew I had to check it, if I knew I was going to have to go to baggage claim, I would have packed more stuff. I would have gotten here and checked my bag. She's losing her mind. And I go, has yelling ever helped you in any situation? That's what I say from behind.
You said,
right?
To her.
I go, has yelling at a person ever helped you? And then she goes, this is none of your business. And she pointed her finger at me and then rotated back to the gate agent and started pointing her finger right in the lady's face.
I was telling our friend Brooks a story the other day that I'm not going to tell on this show because I come off like not a good guy in it. I got in an altercation at Menards with the manager of Menards, but it's because he started pointing his finger in my face. Like there's something about, you can't point your finger in a grown-up's face. If you point your finger we should all get to carry garden shears around. And the rule should be, you can point your finger in somebody's face, but if they can snap it off out of midair, you just don't get a finger anymore. You can't do that shit.
Yeah, I actually do that to lighten the mood because I have seen, I mean, the next step from finger pointing in someone's face is pulling the finger back and punching them in the eye. And so I will try to lighten the mood by pretending to bite their finger as they pointed at me.
Grab their wrist and just
I just pretend to chomp at it just to be silly. So this
just
lady
start
is
blowing their finger.
Is this what you wanted, mommy? Is airport mommy sad? Yum, 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 yum.
With the most sensual sounds you can make. So she's now she's pointing her finger at the gate agent's face. And I said, well, now you're just being an asshole. And then she looked at me. She goes, what did you call me? And I said, I called you an asshole. And she goes, you can't call me an asshole. I go, lady, you're being an asshole, which makes now I get to call you an asshole. I wouldn't have called you an asshole before you were being an asshole, but now you're being an asshole. So that's the only logical next step. And so now everything, and she goes, you know, freaking out. And she goes, well, you have to check your bag too. And I go, I bet I don't. Watch this. And then I got to the gate agent and I go, excuse me, I know that sometimes there's room in the first class cabin. And as you're going by there after the first class section is sat, that they allow you to put your bags up if there's room. I was wondering if you would let me go down, print out my ticket for my bag, but also let me go down before I put it on and just see if there's room. And because I was being nice, I mean, of course, this. So the gate agent goes, she looks at the lady, looks back at me, tilts her head and nods and goes, yes, you can. In a really childish, like she was really giving it to this lady. So then I go, thank you very much. And then I look to the lady and I go, why don't you try that approach? So then she tries the same thing, but sigh, there was only room for one bag. So I put my bag up, shut the bin and looked at her, and she had to check her bag anyways. It was so great. It was so fantastic.
Man. Oh man. Ah, yeah. That's so good.
It's one of those moments where it's no big deal. Nobody's getting hurt, you know, nothing like that, but someone's just going to have to take 15 extra minutes to go get their bag. But because they were being a jerk, and that to me is one of the most fantastic things in life.
There are certain things that I know suck about traveling. Like if you get delayed and stuck in a city for 8 hours or a day or something like that, to me, there's certain things worth focusing on and complaining about.
Yeah.
But I think I'm one of those people who've just accepted what traveling is. Like there's going to be kids that cry on your plane and somebody you're probably going to check a bag 50% of the time when you don't want to. Like there's stuff that I think if you decide to fly, the airline's business model is like, you got to fly anyway, so fuck you. Like they don't care
right
at all. Right. So I'm always surprised by these people who get so worked. Like you see people on the plane just like twitching and jittering because a kid's crying. You're like, did you not? There's 190 seats on this plane. Just by the math of humanity, did you think there were going to be no babies? And did you think that a baby was going to be chill as pressure dropped in its brain for the first time? You know, it's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people don't think of that. And it's just like, I think I've said this before, but it's public transportation. It's a fancier bus. And so, you know,
it's a middle class bus.
If you wanted to travel by yourself, you should have tried harder in high school. I've said this before, but it's the truth. You know, you should have. So, it's always interesting to me because I am a spaz in some places, but at the airport, I am so calm because I know there's nothing I can do to control.
You can't do anything about it. Yeah.
And also when the overhead bins are full, it's not the airline's fault. If you do the math, 3 suitcases should fit in every bin on every side.
Yeah,
so
people break the fucking rules.
Right. They put their backpacks up there because they need more leg room. It's the selfishness of humanity that is creating this problem. It is absolutely not. Because I've seen people put 3 bags up there.
I mean, the airlines do continuously keep taking rows of seats. Like they keep inching seats closer and closer and closer. Like they'll add a row and then all of a sudden every seat is a half an inch closer and pretty soon your kneecaps are on your tits and you know.
Not mine. My feet don't even touch the ground, dude. It feels great.
Oh, cool. That's really
I just sit and kick my feet the whole flight. I got nothing but space.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of traveling, there, I need to tell you about the dogs in this neighborhood. Everybody has dogs. We have a dog.
What does that have to stop? I'm sorry, but what does that have to do with traveling? Did you just try to pull one over on me?
Have we addressed the fact that there's something going on with me today and I feel lightheaded and kind of off my game?
Well, it was because you were like, speaking
have
of traveling.
Have we addressed that?
Speaking of traveling, let me tell you a story about when I'm at my house where I live and don't travel.
Well, maybe if you weren't such a fucking impatient bitch, I would get to the part that relates to traveling.
Oh, I can see the wheel spinning right now trying to change the story. All right, Si, I'd love to hear it.
So, I would like to tell you about two different things I've seen and learned that are dog related in our neighborhood.
Shut up. Let me guess. One of them's traveling. Okay.
One of them does involve traveling. Not your version, like not the Chad human version of traveling, but it is, you're going to be like, for a dog, yeah, he traveled. So that'll be the second one. So for fuck's sake, let me tell him. The first one is, I was leaving the backside of my neighborhood and there were two women on a walk. And the one woman has two dogs, each on a leash. One on each leash. And then she has a dog hanging off her chest.
Yeah.
In like a doggy baby Bjorn. And I have so many questions. Like, because you could have easily held three leashes. I've seen people do it before. But I don't know if they're like, the dog doesn't want it. But this dog was just like, he was just in there like, having like, this is how we walk. I don't know if he's a dogaplegic, like if his hind legs don't work. I don't know what the situation is, but
yeah,
the other dogs are out sniffing and having fun. And he's just like, yeah, this is what I do. I ride on this woman's stomach and that's what it is for me. And so initially everything about it is very funny, but then the woman walking with her has nothing.
And there's another person. There's another human with no responsibilities.
Yeah. And that made me laugh so hard. Cause I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's nothing to it, but I just like, no, I'm not walking your fucking dogs, Lisa. Figure it out. I want to go on a walk with you, the human. And so this woman who just is in her house with her dogs all day and like, just could you walk one of them? She winds up with one on a Bjorn and two on her things while her friend is just completely unwilling to share in the dog responsibility. And I make all that up? Yes. But do I want all that to be true? Oh my gosh. Yeah. The second story. So this is something Jenna found out. Jenna's adventures in the neighborhood are way different than mine. You know, nobody puts any pressure on her. They just like, hey, do you want to just talk about life? No one walks by like, you better not fuck up Christmas. No one's doing that shit to her.
Because it's probably because they see her out in the yard doing all the work. They're like, let's talk to the other guy about the Christmas decorations.
So somebody in our neighborhood had a pit bull. And this is, I need you to buckle your little heart up because this one's going to be a little hard. I'll just tell it. I shouldn't have said that at the beginning.
What kind of dog was it?
It's a pit bull.
If I had a pit bull, that's all I would play. Fireball as I walk the dog. I would have a boombox in my Bjorn and I would walk my pit bull and I would play that song. It would be every single day of the year, regardless of weather. That's what I would do.
I'm gonna go ahead and rescind my apology about the elderberry joke and keep telling this story. So So Jenna is talking to this person, and here's what they find out. This person had a pit bull.
Fireball.
And the pit bull went outside to go and be a dog outside and do dog things. And it ventured off and got lost.
Oh.
And they couldn't find it. And then they couldn't find it some more. And then it was just gone. And the whole winter happens. They obviously are very sad. They've clearly made, I'm sure they made signs. They did the whole thing searching for it. This is a story coming from Jenna, so I don't have the specific details.
Okay.
But very sad, obviously. And then in the springtime, the dog showed up.
Yeah. Oh my God. Because do you know what that dog had to do to survive a winter?
Yeah.
There was a missing dog, and now there are missing children.
Well, here's where it's gonna get a little sad. It like showed up with like frostbite on its ears and a patch on its hair. I know. So it's like it's you remember that movie Homeward Bound with those what was the Michael J. Fox was the pit bull, I think the dog's names were, there was Chance, I think, was the golden retriever. Sassy was the cat. And everybody's like, Sass, fuck, the dogs might make it. That cat is fucking dead. No way that cat's making it. But Chance, and they're also not all hanging out together. Even in the house, dogs and cats don't hang out together very often. You're not all getting lost in the woods and being like, let's the three of us try to venture home. So I don't remember. Maybe Chance was the pit bull. It doesn't matter. So this dog homeward bounded itself, and it's really sad. And now Jenna said that when the dog goes outside, like you have to go outside with it, and it wants to like, it's like, I'm gonna watch you while I pee, and then we're gonna go in together, right? We'll go into the home together.
Oh my God.
I know, it's so sad, but part of me thinks that's not good. But the alternative is him being like, better not let me outside again or I'm going to go fuck around for a winter. Like, you don't want that dog in your house. You don't want the dog that disappeared for a winter and doesn't regret it. You don't want that situation at all.
There's a movie called Summer School with Mark Harmon is the teacher. And at the beginning of the movie, this guy asks for the bathroom pass and then he leaves. And then he shows up for the final at the end of summer. And he goes, you're not in my class. And he goes, yep, went to the bathroom and hands him back the bathroom pass. That's what reminds me of that pit bull. Just like, I'm going to go see some shit. I'll be back for the final.
Yeah, I mean, it is really sad. But the alternative is a way bigger bummer.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of dogs. I was in an elevator.
Do you want to fuck off? Fuck you. That he did. He went. He traveled. He traveled for an entire winter alone. He didn't even have a chance or sassy. Yeah, he was just there. Like they just didn't look in a certain corner of the garage. Finally, they opened it, and it was like he walked out to the front door. Like, guys, this has not been ideal.
All right. So there were no dogs in the elevator, but I was waiting for an elevator in the lobby of a hotel. Okay.
Okay.
Now I always stand a good distance away from the door so people can exit. I'm not one of the people that tries to get on while the people are still on. The doors open and there's a man in the corner that I can see. And he is looking down on his phone, not moving. So I give him a three count. And then I think, oh, he must have forgot to push the button or whatever. So I make an aggressive move towards the door. Then this other dude comes around the corner. So I don't know if his back was against the buttons and he was just hiding and waiting. But he shot around the corner. And we are now, I mean, I'm telling you, nose to nose, because we both came in super hard at the same time.
Accidental we're nose kiss. Accidental so kiss.
Nose to nose. I stick the tip of my tongue out just to see if I can get the bottom of his nose. I can't. Okay, that didn't happen. But we're nose to nose. And I go, oh, wow. Sorry about that. I really came in with an aggressive move. And he goes, yeah, pretty pathetic. And I went, oh, no. Wait a minute. I go, you were like hiding and the doors were open for 3 seconds. So I made a move to get on and then I apologized to you. What's with the pathetic thing? And he goes, well, you should never just go on to the elevator before people exit. I go, I can't see you. I couldn't see you. And I go, what do you want me to do about this? I apologize to you. What would you like me to do? And he goes, well, don't do it. And I went, can you give me an option that doesn't make me break the space-time continuum? Because I don't know how to not do what I did.
Yeah.
That's confusing to me. So then he like walks off looking at the ceiling and he's like doing the thing that you do, kind of talking to me as he's walking away.
Sure. Yeah. The anger walk away. Love it.
So 2 days later, I'm on the elevator and I can hear clicking and clacking, running towards the elevator. This person's like, hey, hold that, please hold that. So I hold it and I'm standing with my arm on the door. So I'm like kind of right in the entry of the elevator, and it's him. And so then I take my hand off the door and he goes, excuse me. And I go, no, thank you. And then the door shut and he didn't even put his hand in. I expected him to put his hand in and then we're going to have the most uncomfortable elevator ride, but he didn't even stop the door. So it could not have been more perfect, where it slowly shut as after I said, no, thank you, I won't excuse you. It just slowly shuts in between us. Dude, that's the greatest elevator ride I've ever had in my life. And I've done some naughty things.
No, come on. You don't need to add that on. Have you had sex in an elevator?
No. No.
Have you had oral sex in an elevator?
No.
Have you had finger sex in an elevator?
No. Of course not. I was talking
you
about
get
like
drunk in an elevator?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
yeah, I've been pretty drunk in an elevator. Maybe I've written some things. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if that A qualifies as naughty and B, god damn it, I hate the word naughty. You know what though? I'm gonna have to get used to it because come Christmas time, I think a lot of people are gonna be calling me naughty for not decorating this fucking house. Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.